First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go, and while you're there, join our RSS feed and our email newsletter so we can send you stuff every day direct to your mailbox and every week on our news. I tell you, we've always got so much going on. As always, the guest call-in numbers, 858-683-1326. And 502-805-0334. For you folks in the listening queue, as always, don't forget to hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll get you on as soon as possible. And for everybody else, you can also join the live chat. You can sign right into the chat room using your Facebook or your Twitter. So, you know, you don't even have to join BTR to hear it and respond. Isn't that special? I'll tell you what, Ed Martin will be joining us in just a minute. As always, there is so much to talk about. The local scene is just getting comical anymore. I mean, it really, really, truly is. Now we have the Metro Council. Some of the stories we're going to get into. The Metro Council is now going to start looking at another way to take away free speech. Yes, they're trying to find a better way that we talk to them when we talk to the council for 3 minutes that they allow us to. We'll get to that story in a minute. We've got Democratic Judge Executive, Jefferson County Judge Executive Brian Matthews, was just hired as Dan Johnson's, Jim King's favorite loyal guy, was just hired as Dan Johnson's, legislative assistant. It's interesting because the judge executive here in Louisville, here in Jefferson County, has really no powers anymore. They used to be the county judge executive until a merger back in 2002. Now it's a required office by the Constitution. So Brian Matthews has taken his oath of office as a county judge executive, and yet now is going to serve as a legislative aide to his good friend. They were roommates for a while last year, Councilman Dan Johnson. They had been palling around for quite some time now. So, you know, the question for me is this. If David James is going to be put through a glaring light because he took an oath of office as a council person, and but he works for a private employer as a private employee on the University Police Department, and that is subject to scrutiny, how can we have the county judge executive, who still has to take an oath, sit here and be the council legislative aide to Dan Johnson? You know, those are interesting things, and it's really interesting, too, when you look at the big picture here, because, you know, Brian Matthews ran against Tom Owen for the council seat and got shellacked in Tom Owen's last election. He is moving into Dan Johnson's district as we speak, and Dan Johnson has stated that he has plans to leave the Metro Council and run for a state seat. So Brian Matthews apparently is being groomed to take the District 21 Metro Council seat when Dan Johnson decides to give it up. Ed Martin, talk to me.
Well, you know, we've had Brian Matthews on the show, and I tell you, I like the guy. I like the way he operates. You know, he took a non-existent, you know, with no authority and no pay position, and he actually did some good things with it out there in the you know, Kentucky organization of, you know, county judge executives and stuff. So, you know, as far as Dan Johnson goes, I mean, once again, we have to rarely agree with the Courier Journal, you know, where they basically said, please, for the love of God, someone with a brain, run next time this clown's up. I think no doubt about it. I think Brian is just sliding right in there, you know. Let's face it, Dan Johnson's a goober, so I think, you know, having Brian in his camp can only help, because it, you know, let's face it, Dan Johnson, the kind of guy who pops off on Facebook, you know, telling people get over it with regard to the tax increase on gas and stuff. I think Brian is a good addition, but, you know, once again, you know, moving into the district, you know, conveniently. Becoming his legislative assistant, you know, actually taking government pay now, you know, conveniently.
But what about,
you know, he's increasing his profile. He's just basically, it's a handoff. I mean, it would surprise me if Dan Johnson orchestrated it, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Jim King or somebody like that orchestrated it and figuring it a way to get him in. And just,
well, Johnson and Matthews are extremely, extremely close. I mean, they lived together for quite a while and everything else, you know, so it wouldn't, I mean, Jim King to go to Johnson and say, hey, let's do this, you know, for Johnson to go along with it is not a big surprise. But Matthews, you know, I'm not going to trash the guy. I actually consider him somewhat of a friend, you know, but at the same time, I also know that here's another yes man. And not a forward thinker. You know, to do something with the county judge executive office with no responsibilities and no duties, you know, to make yourself look good for that ego trip is pretty much the way it feels to me. Now we're going to sit here and pay him to work for Dan Johnson. But really interesting to me was exactly what I stated at the beginning. How can we make an issue out of David James having conflicting oaths, because he is upholding an oath as a University of Louisville police officer, which is private employment, you know, and at the same time has, as a Metro Councilman, has an oath, and we can't put Brian Matthews under the same scrutiny. That's not being done. The question has been raised.
I agree with that, too. But it does make you wonder. And, of course, Brian Matthews, we have not had the general election on his much, you know, and he has fun with it, but his much vaunted and proclaimed title as county judge executive, he has not, you know, he still is the county judge executive, and he has, you know, the general election has not passed yet. So, yeah, along the lines of Kevin James, is Brian Matthews now going to remove himself from that race?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Matter.
Well,
not that it really matters, But is he going to continue to campaign, or is he going to, you know, submit the proper paperwork and withdraw his name from consideration on the ballot?
Well, you know, here's the telling point, though. You know, in the story when it was reported, and I'm going to go ahead and we'll use WFPL as a source for this. Everybody reported it. But WFPL did this story, and he was asked, you know, if he has any play, if he has made a deal to replace Johnston. And, you know, he says he didn't make a deal, but then he goes on and has to expand on that. I just can't say what will happen. You know, Dan could have a heart attack in a year, and then there's all kinds of scenarios. But right now I'm just focused on being a legislative assistant to him. You know, that's the interesting thing. Now, Dan Johnston has told me, you know, that this may be his last term on a council, that he's really thinking about running for a state seat. Now, whether he does or not, I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter. But this conflicting...
You know what your answer to that is, Ed? How many years has Dan Johnston been on the public payroll?
Well, I agree with that. And you know,
How many years has he been on the public payroll?
Oh, good Lord, more than 20. More than 20.
Well,
he was an alderman plus
all-American. He's pension eligible, dude. He's not gonna run for a lower paying state rep seat and take home less money. He's pension eligible, and he's got the high three or the high five going for him. He's going to hang it up and pull down 32-35 grand a year for doing nothing, which is, you know, not a far cry from what he does right now. But he's not going to go to work in Frankfort part time, pulling down 22,000-24,000 a year, and not be able to, you know, unless he can double dip, then he might consider it. But if he can't double dip, he's not running for state office. He's ready for his pension. Sit around and do nothing.
That's what I'm saying, though, because after 20 years, he can double dip. So that will actually be a raise in pay for Dan. He knows he's not going to do any better on the Metro Council. But if he can retire and get his retirement, full retirement, and go ahead and run for a state seat and win that, yeah, it's a double dip, and that's a raise for him. That might be the only thing he sees as a way to get more money. You know, but at the end of the day, though, I'm really interested in this oath situation and what's going to happen with that. And I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with this, because Dan Johnston is one of those people who are, you know, say that David James has this conflict, and yet he just willingly put himself in the same category and the same position. So, you know, who's really pulling the strings here? You know what I mean? Because
yep.
It's Jim King behind the whole David James fiasco. Him and Michael Connell are working together on that. There's no doubt about that. So, you look at all of this stuff in play, it's going to make for some interesting fodder going forward. here's the story that I said we were going to get into. You know, we need to talk about this Metro Council. Attica Scott apparently is leading the way, but members of the Metro Council are now asking the county attorney's office to research their options in trying to prohibit the use of profanity or offensive language by people addressing the legislative body. It says especially by people addressing the legislative body. You can get this story at the Courier-Journal, but it's interesting because, you know, they basically go on in the story to say it's primarily aimed at one speaker who has used a racial slur more than once. That speaker, of course, is Connie Marshall, who's a nutbag. You know, Connie Marshall is a black woman. She used racial slurs in the last Metro Council meeting. It's not the first time she did that. You know, Attica Scott, of course, is a black woman who's complaining about language that the black community regularly uses themselves. So, you know, to me it's kind of a double standard because it's not like Attica Scott doesn't use that language herself. But, you know, it's interesting because does this get into free speech rights? You may not like what somebody is telling you. You may personally find it offensive, but people have the right to say that. They have the right to say whatever they want to, you know, as long as you're not walking into a theater and yelling fire. So, you know, we look at this, I think it really brings the whole free speech question into play, and that tells me that this Metro Council Democratic leadership, like Attica Scott and other members of the Democratic Caucus who are pursuing this action, are trying to prohibit free speech. This is the first step along taking control of that. Your thoughts?
I don't think in a public forum free speech you know, goes as far as to, you know, to be offensive and use foul language. I mean, you say what you say, but, you know, I'm a former libertarian. I'll tell you straight up, free speech, you know, I'm like, hey, free speech is fine. But, and your government will not, you know, forbid you from it. But there are consequences to what you say and how you say it. So, you know, I actually appreciate that because, first off, if you're addressing the Metro Council, probably has something to do with somebody's rights, and money's probably involved, something like that, public safety.
Well,
if you can't get your point across without dropping the F bomb or the N word or four letter in it all through, then you know what? If you can't come up with that, you can't sit there and speak. You know, think about what you're going to say and say it in a mature way. Then you're wasting everybody's time anyway, because the minute you drop the F bomb or something, you basically have no credibility. So in a way, I look at it as saying, okay, it's just a slight filter. It's like look, if you don't have sufficient command of the English language to stand in a public forum and not let it fly, then, you know, we really don't care what you have to say. I doubt you're going to give us the formula for cold fusion or you're going to solve the county's, the state's pension crisis. You're an idiot. So if you can't sit there and make your point without offending people and using offensive language and base language, too, it's very banal and very base. If you can't do that, then you don't need to be speaking. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I kind of disagree with every bit of that, and I'll tell you why. You know, yes, does it belittle the person speaking it? Yes, it does. Does it mitigate the argument they're trying to make? Yes, it does. But at the end of the day, though, Ed, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, if I want to sit here and say, you know, I think all of you people are full of shit, that's my opinion. That's free speech. I'm entitled to that. If I use the word shit and I belittle my message, well, so be it. That's on me. Who the hell is a council to tell me what I can say and can't say? Because these elected representatives talk to us any way they want to, as we know with Dan Johnson, you know, with one of the people complaining about the LG&E fee. And what does he say? Get over it. You know, we look at that kind of stuff, Ed, and it makes a big difference. I don't think it's right to go down that line for any of us. I think that it's dead wrong. And in this particular case, I hope that the people of Louisville will figure that out as well, because I just don't understand any of that. You know, I don't like the language, especially
N-word.
At some point
in a public forum, there needs to be some level of decorum.
Well, there is decorum. But, you know, when the Metro Council can sit here and scream and yell at you and tell you to shut up and treat you with disrespect, that's essentially what you're talking about with foul language or things like that. It's disrespectful. Why is it okay for the council members to disrespect me as a citizen, and it's not okay for me to disrespect them? And we've seen that happen in Metro Council.
I mean, it basically, from what I understand, it has to do with foul and profane language, which, again,
well,
I don't have a problem with that. Not, you know, there's certain things you can't say in an open public forum with, let's face it, kids potentially around. There's just certain words that genteel people do not use in mixed company and in public. I say, if you want to call them an idiot, fine. You know, if they Lord knows if they ban, you know, I can see it if you say, well, you know, if I want to go before the council and, you know, Dan Johnson starts asking some stupid questions and I'm looking at him saying, what? And you can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. That's not profane.
The point is, it's just language. You only empower the words when you do shit like this. You know, we talk about racism, we talk about the N-word, we talk about all these other things. It only has power when you give it power. And Attica Scott and them, by going down this road of trying to stifle free speech, in my opinion, are empowering themselves and creating an even further divide. You know, it's like when you're a kid and your parents tell you not to do something, you intentionally go out and do it because you want to see what they're trying to hide from you. Adults are the same way to a large degree. We really are. Our needs have changed different. We don't jump off of mountain cliffs because, you know, our parents told us not to. We jump off of it now every now and then because it's a thrill. You know, but there's a lot of difference here. And when you get into free speech and giving the empowerment to that kind of stuff, and at the end of the day, I mean, they're basically specifically talking about one person, Connie Marshall, you know, they just made an issue for others to follow her lead. They just gave Connie Marshall credibility. That's the problem with going down this road. And I've just got a real problem fighting free speech like that. I just don't like it. I think it's a slippery slope.
I don't think it's giving Connie Marshall credibility. I think it's basically saying, look, you're an idiot. You know, if you can't control yourself, fine. It's a pretty sad statement, but, you know, if you can't control yourself in a public forum, then let us spell it out for you, you know. Like, if mom and dad didn't raise you to understand that certain speech in a public forum is untowards, then, okay, we'll spell it out for you.
Do you know one of the rules to speak in front of the Metro Council? For one thing, they allow 10 speakers to speak starting at 6:30 for 3 minutes apiece. They allow 30 minutes for public input before they start the meeting every week. And you have to call in advance. You can't just show up and speak if they don't have enough speakers. You have to be scheduled at least 24 hours in advance to be able to have the opportunity to speak at Metro Council. And one of the first rules that you have to agree to speak in front of Metro Council is that you won't speak negative about any council members, the council at large, or any individual council member. So if I wanted to walk up and talk at the Metro Council meeting and tell the whole world that I believe Councilman Jim King or Councilman Kelly Downard or Councilman or Councilwoman, insert name here, if I want to walk up and say this particular councilman by name, you know, sponsored this bill, it was a bad bill for Louisville, and we should all be disgusted by it, I'm out of order and I'm barred from speaking to the Metro Council. Now, there's nothing profane in that. That's them saying it's okay for us to abuse you and talk to you any way we want to, but you are not allowed to criticize us. So they've already stifled free speech. All right? This takes it down to the next level. Now, I'm not saying I like the words, Ed, but they get to do anything they want to do, say anything they want to say, whether it has language in it or not, and we are not allowed to address that. This is just another part way to do that. That's a skip.
At which point, sometimes, you know, I'm inclined when people engage in the slippery slope behavior, a lot of times I'm inclined to say, wow, you really want to go there, huh? So, yeah. You know what? If the Metro Council wants to pass this and they want to make these rules, it's only a matter of time before some citizen, you know, like Ed Springsteen or somebody, will bring a court case against them, suing them for, you know, unequal application of the right to free speech.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, okay, if you can't deride somebody, you can't say negative things about them, then, you know, if that law is good enough for them, then that law is good enough for them to abide by as well. And, you know, if they want to make that part of the Metro Council decorum, good. It's only a matter of time before some concerned citizen says, you know what, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Equal application of the law. Let's do this.
And we are seeing more and more around the country. We are seeing more and more people who are speaking up at their council meetings, you know, at their elected representative meetings and everything else. And these persons that are speaking up, if their tone of voice is angry, they're out of order. It doesn't matter what they say. If they raise their voice at all, they're out of order and they're escorted out of council chambers. And that's exactly what's going on here. That's the problem with me. And now they want to go through and make this an issue where there was none. One person that is known to most people to be a nut job. I mean, that's the truth. When you think of Connie Marshall, you think she's a nut job. But she does have followers. She has people that believe her and believe in her, okay? Now, those people have just been empowered to follow her lead. The Metro Council says, I can't say this. Screw that. So they're going to sign up now to speak, and you're allowed to speak once every 6 weeks, basically. So now you're going to get all these people coming out of the woodwork because Connie Marshall just got vilified, and now she's got something that she can lead that people will get behind, and the Metro Council put that together. This is the problem with these liberal thinkers who want to control everything we do. You empower the worst of us by going down these kind of roads. This is not a common problem. But now we're going to attack everybody and say, well, free speech has to be limited. What about the other 99.9999% of us? Why do we have to suffer once again because of one stupid person? That's what I'm getting at, and that's how we lose liberty.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, I see that point, but by the same token, like I say, I think there ought to be a heightened level of decorum anyway. Yeah, but I like anybody else. I like, you know, you watch C-SPAN or something, it says, I yield to the distinguished gentleman from, and you think, yeah, right.
Right. I got to point this out, too. Our good friend Paul Holliger from Stop Invisible Taxes in the chat room, there's a great link in there about the rules to speak in front of the Metro Council, but he also just corrected me, and you're right, Paul. I meant to say about once every 6 meetings, not every 6 weeks, because our meetings are once every 2 weeks with our Metro Council, and you have to have 5 meetings in between times you're allowed to speak. So it's actually about once every 12 weeks or 3 months that you can actually address the council. So I wanted to get that clear, too. That is just the problem. I just really get sick of hearing about that. And I tell you, you know, with all the stuff that they have been doing at this Metro Council, it's like last week we spent a lot of time talking about the LG&E measure that came out of the committee. Kelly Downard. The Republicans had a great opportunity to shut this fee down because you had 4 Republicans and 3 Democrats at the committee meeting. And Kelly Downer jumped ship and sided with Jim King and the Democrats, You know, so now we've got a 2% fee that's going into effect that 80% of the people have to pay, but 20% don't, with a company called LG&E that is an energy monopoly in Louisville. If they want to charge Time Warner Cable a fee, it's okay to do so, because we can always go to DirecTV, Dish Network, or something. We can get the same services somewhere else. But you can't do that with LG&E, and 20% of the people are exempt because they live in these incorporated cities. There were a lot of people that were heated about that. There were a lot of people who tried to speak to the council about that. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, 95% of the people that contacted the Metro Council members were totally against this fee. They were irate. They were upset. It's, once again, an illegal tax. But don't dare go to a Metro Council meeting and show any kind of hostility, like an angry voice, or accidentally use one of the 7 deadly sin words that George Carlin says. Man, I wish I'd had time today. I would have loaded that audio up, because I love George Carlin and his 7 words. But, we look at this stuff. This is a great example of why. They went against 95% of the people. So 95% of the people are upset, but they're God. They're above having to be accountable to that in any way, shape, or form. Your thoughts?
Some of them were accountable, like Attica Scott. She got rolled.
She got rolled prior to this. Go ahead.
You know, again, one of the things I'll say is, like, you know, apparently people didn't care that much because they keep electing these bozos. So, and I care even less because I'm not on LG&E gas. So,
I understand. But you're one of those people that can do that. You know, it was interesting
when you look
at people like Mary Woolridge that voted for it, and City of Shively is exempt from it. So why was she voting? Why was she even allowed to vote on something that doesn't concern her or her district? You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that makes it easy for her. It's like, hey, more money to spend, and my constituents don't give a damn. So,
yep.
Hey, why not? There's a safe vote for you. I mean, at the very least, they should have said abstain.
Well, and here's the thing, too. You know, Marianne Butler, of course, was one who had to abstain from voting because she is a lobbyist. Key word here, folks, lobbyist for LG&E. Okay, she works for LG&E. And it was funny because we had some council members that were legitimately on the fence. Cindy Fowler claimed to be on the fence, and she was dead set against this, that the people out here in District 14 didn't want it. She's my council rep, so she gets to be used as the example. So Marianne Butler leaves the council meeting so that they can have discussion. Right before they voted, She walked back in, made a beeline over to Cindy Fowler, whispered something to Cindy Fowler, left, and then Cindy Fowler votes for it. Now, what kind of a deal they made, I don't know. But for me personally, it was clearly a deal was being made that LG&E's lobbyists made to get that one vote that they needed out of Cindy Fowler to allow this thing to stay alive and get passed through the Metro Council. So all of these things come into play. So we've got people like Mary Woolridge, who shouldn't be allowed to vote on something that doesn't affect her constituency, just agreed to basically illegally tax the rest of us. You've got Marianne Butler making little side deals, in my opinion, when she's going in there and whispering to Cindy Fowler, and Cindy Fowler all of a sudden jumps on the bandwagon. Okay? The people are pissed off, and the biggest news today is, well, we want to make sure that people don't talk to us the wrong way, because if they do, we're going to be offended, and we're going to really get mad. I mean, come on. Isn't that two-year-old stuff? Now you want to go after free speech after you just pissed off 95% of the residents of Louisville?
Well, again, as long as it's limited to the, you know, what goes on in that particular forum, you want to trash them? Trash them outside. We do it all the time. You know, sometimes we just ridicule and mock them and belittle them. But you know, it's... I just personally, I think there's a certain decorum, a certain level you should rise to when you're in chamber. But you know, and that applies to the court system. You know, in most places, and when you're downtown being processed by the police or anything, you know, you keep a lid on it. But yeah, you know, hey, now we're criticizing the ones that did vote for it. You know, I always got to give a shout out to my rep, Jerry Miller, who not only voted against it, but absolutely trashed it. I mean, he laid out what it was, you know, as far as attacks on everybody but the unincorporated cities, because, you know, because even with an increased budget, they wanted even more money, even though they're projecting more money. They wouldn't allocate that. No, they're going to go give $500,000 to a soccer team and other crap like that. Shout out to my rep. I'm glad he's going. I think he runs unchallenged, and he'll be in Frankfort next year. And all I can say to that is, thank God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with you. I think Jerry's done a fantastic job, and you know, but it is interesting to me when we look at this. And Greg Fisher, of course, is making a joke out of this as well. You know, and I hate to say that, but it's the truth. But you've got Greg Fisher out there talking about, you know, there's a lot of imperfect solutions, you know, that I have to deal with every day. This is another example of that. We have 80 incorporated cities throughout the, you know, the suburban area, so that are completely exempt from this. You know, but it's fascinating that Fisher goes on and says, obviously 80% of the people pay for it, but for those that aren't paying, we'll happily take their contributions. So, I mean, that just made a big joke of this and basically spit in our eye. That really completely pissed me off, you know. And you know, then you've got the city council that just approved a $10.10 minimum wage for metro government workers on Thursday at the city council meeting. So, you know, now they're not worried about the budget because they said it only applies to about 5 employees. It only applies to 5 employees today. And then, of course, we've got different, you know, different things out there. And there's all this confusion. And this is why it's easy to get frustrated with Metro Council and maybe use a little language. You know, I mean, I use language on these council members all the time. I don't do it at a council meeting, but I could care less who they are. You get what you give. You treat others the way you want to be treated. But, you know, you've got Annika Scott after this first went on that says that these fees should be added to business. You know, which is stupid because that's exactly what the council did. They added this fee to LG&E, the business. LG&E, of course, is going to pass it on to us, just like every business does. But the mindset is this. You've got people like Mary Touré, who is quoted out there that says, if we're going to do this budget, you have no right to put it on poor people. Business people, not just LG&E, should pay this price. Okay, why should we pay it? And, of course, again, that's the mentality. So it really comes down to educating people. But, you know, when it all said and done, people are frustrated, man. And I don't like this council thinking they have the right to tell us that we're not allowed to be so frustrated that we may use a little bit of language from time to time. We are adults. You know, adults do that. Well, we're more adult than they are, in my opinion. So stay away from my free speech rights. I don't know. It's driving me nuts. But we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, folks, we'll get into some more stuff. You're going to have a good time, trust me. You're listening to the Ed Spreckster Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Nothing ever ceases to amaze me. These clowns in Louisville want to take it all. Now they want to force stuff down your throat and don't want you to use the word bitch. We can't talk and say that we bitched about it. We can say that we found it unfavorable, but we can't say fuck you, because we find that insulting, even though that's what they say to us every chance they get, especially behind closed doors. Screw them guys, man. I tell you what. We've got another thing going on here. And for you guys that want to call into the show, by the way, top of the hour, always a mention. I'm trying to work on the bottom of the hour. 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. And, of course, for you guys in the listening queue, hit that little number one in dial pad. We'll get you on here as soon as possible. They continue talking, Ed. I want to start back with this LG&E thing since I kind of went there. They continue talking about how, it's only going to be just a couple of dollars a year. It's no big deal. But since January of 2013, our average tax bills and extra fee bills have went up, folks, over $400 a year in a year's time. This is before everything else is added in. So when we look at this, I mean, $400 a year now is 100 gallons of gas. That's a lot of gas for people who are struggling right now at almost $4 a gallon whenever they feel like it. It's at least half a rent payment just about anywhere. It's an LG&B bill. I mean, it definitely helps your family, but that's how much it's went. So all this little nickel dime stuff they keep saying isn't much. It's actually a ruse, and there's another one getting ready to go in, and this one is on the state of Kentucky. But the state of Kentucky is going to increase Kentucky gas tax by 2.4 cents per gallon. So, that's another every 100 gallons of gas. That's $24. Ed, what do we do here?
Well, like you said, don't be the frog. I mean, now I'll be honest, gas tax is one of those ones that I can be for or against because, I want good roads and granted, the roads aren't getting any cheaper to maintain and cars are getting better mileage. So, I mean, there is a mathematical argument for that, but again, they need to, if you're going to raise our taxes, Brian Simpson had something posted about Dan Johnson the other day. I said, if you're going to raise our taxes, please, have the decency to do it with an apology. We're sorry we have to do this. and then follow it up with, you know, why we need to do this, and then explain to us that you will be good stewards of our tax dollars, our hard-earned tax dollars. But before they go raising the gas tax, how about they get rid of prevailing wage on the construction jobs that are involved in the state, you know?
So, I'm sorry, man. I had to start laughing as soon as you said, you know, basically what you just told me was, if you're going to do this to us, have the balls to say, yeah, we're going to screw you, but we're going to buy you Vaseline. I mean, that's the bottom line. We're going to shove it up your butt,
well,
but we're going to put
Vaseline
on the end of the stick.
I understand that, you know, some costs of maintaining stuff go up, and there are costs, you know, that we want as far as infrastructure goes. So I accept that there is some need, you know, there's a need for not just some, but in some cases quite a bit of you know, public infrastructure and public safety and things like that. But, you know, as much as anything, like you said, they're not going to let us cuss them at their meetings. People like Dan Johnson are going to pop off and say, you know, deal with it. They're going to tell us all these little lies like we need this money when people like Jerry Miller come out and says, what are you talking about? The budget projections, the income projections are higher than they ever were. You know, they're higher than last year. You don't need this. You just want to spend more money. If they say they want to do this and they want to get $500,000 to make a baseball diamond soccer friendly, you know, that's what I say. If you're going to do it, explain it to us. Don't lie to us. Treat us with some respect. I think most taxpayers get that. I mean, if you're going to raise the fuel tax, like I said, I would almost concede a rise in fuel tax if they'll concede that they'll get away with prevailing wage and stop saying, hey, we need more fuel taxes because we're bound by law to pay the most expensive rate we possibly can on your road maintenance, chump.
But the problem is, if they're going to get rid of prevailing wage, they're still going to increase the taxes. So whatever
they
gain by getting rid of prevailing that's the whole point, though.
I'm all for compromise. It's like, look, give me some value for it.
But that's the whole thing, because everybody knows as soon as they went out and said something about being good stewards with our money, you know, it's a lie. We know that they do
that.
When you look at the gas taxes.
We're good stewards with your money. I'd be like, yeah, you can't even walk and chew gum, man. You can't tell the truth all at the same time. You're going to be good stewards with my money? You can't do fifth grade arithmetic. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, sure, and then you talk exactly, and then you talk about the LGNEP, the illegal tax, if you will. You know, well, it was necessary because we had to hire 24 more officers since we had riots on March the 22nd. These 24 officers ain't going to do a damn thing to stop those riots. Most of the money that they're going to put into LMPD is because of retiring officers, as always. The only time they ever hire officers, the only time we put new officers on the street, is when we're replacing retirees. So there is no net gain in public safety. And if this money is going to be used for 24 officers, then everyone in the city benefits from that, so everyone should pay equally. You know, that's the whole context. This is what I'm saying. You know, so now we've got this extra LG&E fee. We're paying $400 a year more than we were a year ago. We're going to pay 2.4 cents more a gallon on gas starting July the 1st. And by the way, that's $2.40 per 100 gallons, not $24. My apologies, folks. But when you look at all of this stuff, you're getting into hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Why? Because they can't prioritize spending. If these police officers are so necessary, and I firmly agree that they are, as a matter of fact, I think we need at least 200 new officers, in my opinion, if you really want to make a difference on the streets today. But that's me. I was arguing for this in 2006. David James was arguing for this in 2006. He helped me write my police plan, for Christ's sake. All right? So we know we need the officers. But don't sit here and play this gimmick financing because you haven't made them a priority. Don't sit here and tell me we have to spend money on Waterfront Park or the Downtown Development Corporation and all these other places so that we can take care of our Democrat crony friends instead of spending that money getting these officers. $100,000.
You forgot it. And don't tell me how much we have to pay Barbara Scanklin and Judy Green's attorneys to defend them from totally legitimate charges where they were ripping everybody off.
How many officers would that have bought? You're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of...
Somewhere in the neighborhood of... Yeah. A couple of years, wouldn't it now?
Sure. $300,000 to $400,000. How many officers would that have got us? Don't sit here and keep playing this public safety crap. It's like the 911 stuff. 911, 911. The feds use that to rob us blind. George Bush started it. They're still continuing it today. They're robbing us blind. 911, never forget, 911. They always use public safety to generate new tax revenue, and these buffoons follow them and say, oh, no, how much is it going to cost me today to feel safe tomorrow? Because you want to feel safe. You know, that's the problem. So I've got all these major problems with that, and this new Kentucky gas tax is just it's just tearing me up. It really is. And I tell you, there is some hope, though. There is some hope, and I tell you why. And it's going to be completely switching gears on you, Ed. My apologies. But for a long time now, we have always spoke about real conservatives and liberals. We don't always use Republican, Democrat, because to me that's the uniparty. But this weekend, something good in Louisville happened that I was very, very glad to see. The Jefferson County Republican Party, led by Nathan Haney, whom we've talked to on the show and I've talked to a couple of times away from the show, but Nathan Haney with the Jefferson County Republican Party aligned himself with Rand Paul and a couple others. Rand Paul, as you know, has been reaching out to the black community and the West End community for a long time now. Rand Paul understands that they have been left behind by the Republicans and the Democrats have taken them for granted. And he understands that. Well, him and Nathan Haney put this deal together. So over the weekend, the Jefferson County Republican Party opened up a new West End headquarters at the Trinity Family Life Center in the Chickasaw neighborhood. I think this is great. I think this is great. Nathan Haney, one of the first things he told us when he became the new chair was that he didn't like the fact that the party was divided and the West End was, you know, not considered, that in order to be a strong party, in order to make the differences, and in order to make the conservative values and traditions work, that he was going to make sure that all were included. And he followed through with that. Rand Paul helped him do it. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a good move, period. I mean, you've got a block of voters that we've always said the Democrats take for granted, you know, a couple $20 bills and we own this district kind of thing. And Republicans, I mean, that's where, you know, there's a high density of voters in the area. And if you're a party, you pretty much exist to get votes. I mean, that's what you do. And they're locating down there. I think it's a good thing all the way through because there needs to be more dialogue. You know, we talk about the uniparty. I can't even begin to imagine the quiet desperation of West Louisville. You know, for how many decades the Democrats lie to you and let you rot, and the Republicans ignore you. They basically, you know, they're the exact opposite of the Marines, man. You think Marines ain't no man left behind. The Republicans are like, see you later. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it's a huge turnaround because I really hope the West End embraces it for the strategic value that it is. You know, to say maybe they don't buy into the Republican Party, but at least now the Republican Party's down there. They're talking to people. There's a presence. So even if the West End weren't to flip and go Republican, at least now they have an option. They have a very visible and hopefully vigorous option down there to where they can look at people like your Greens and your
right.
What was it, the guy, David Candies and stuff like that. Look at them and say, hey, you know what? It's time to put up or shut up because you've been talking for a bunch of years. Now we've got this Republican down here who's, you know, he's listening to us just like you listen to us, but you didn't do anything. Maybe we'll give him a shot if you don't get off your ass and start, you know, doing something to enhance economic development or crime or education. You know, it's like, hey, we've got an option now. So let's, you know, shit or get off the pot, Democrats, because, you know, otherwise we're going to go around the corner and talk to these guys.
Well, and it's interesting, too, you mentioned crime, because that's one of the things that Rand Paul talked about when he was talking about helping to improve West Louisville, he was talking about the economic freedom zones, school choice legislation, and he talked about the criminal justice system. He slammed how the U.S. drug laws were affecting African-American communities. And what he said was, and this courtesy of WFPL, by the way, but what he said was the war on drugs has 3 out of 4 people in prison who are black or brown. But if you do a survey of who is using illegal drugs, white kids are doing it too. They're just not getting caught, or they have a better attorney, or they live in the suburbs. And he is absolutely 100% correct. But what's really startling here is, according to a Bluegrass poll that was released in May last month, in a mock presidential contest against Hillary Clinton in Kentucky, Paul pulled 29% of the black vote. That is very, very considerable, considering that that the West End community typically votes 90% with any Democrat that runs, no matter who they are. The fact that you've got that down to 71% is major strides in people finally opening up. And why not? I mean, let's face it. Of course the Republicans left the black community behind in the late 60s going into 70s. I get that. But at the same token, who are the ones out there, leading the way trying to free the slaves all the way back to Lincoln? Let's go into the 60s and Martin Luther King Jr. And the Civil Rights Movement. Who was pushing the Civil Rights Act? It was Republicans and conservatives that were leading the way to freedom. It was the Democrats who were the ones fighting it. Who's responsible for the KKK? Why? Welcome to your neighborhood Democrat. Why they ever got away from
history,
that?
And granted, a lot of those people are dead. would have been a part of that. But I think it's also a good move for the Republican Party, in as much as you recall when they were looking at restorative rights in Frankfurt, which, as Rand Paul would have pointed out, and he did point out in the Frankfurt debate, that it's a fairly racial thing. The higher conviction amongst black, you've got a bunch of, let's face it, the West End is, they get into statistics, high percentage of people have felony convictions, nonviolent felony convictions, just got caught with a dime bag or something, one time too many. And you've got a whole class of people who can't vote, who don't have their rights restored. And I remember watching that and how some of the Republicans spiked that in Frankfurt. And I think it's also an opportunity for the other direction too, is that if the Republicans can develop a presence in a minority neighborhood that might, in a minority area that might be plagued with crime, people like Nathan could very possibly talk to people in Frankfurt and say, hey, guys, come on. You're killing us here.
Well, that's the truth. And, of course, there are a couple of contrasting views and opinions on what this really means. And I'll give you a couple of them. Talk radio host Rick Howland, told WFPL that the worst nightmare for Democrats is that African Americans will remember which party opposed their historic strides, and he went on to tell why. Rick Allen told his audience, told WFPL that I remember who voted for the civil rights bills that passed in 1964 and 1965 that made sure I could vote. He said, I remember my daddy didn't have to go to the polling place with a gun in his pocket anymore. I remember the members of my family who used to argue about John Kennedy saying he didn't sponsor any legislation before he was elected president. All of that is true. But then, of course, you've got to go back to the other side. Daryl Young, he was there at the opening. And Daryl Young made the mention that the fact of referring to a person who lived almost 200 years ago as a shining beacon of your party is very troubling, referring, of course, to Abe Lincoln. And that's true, too. And that just goes to show the disconnect. The Republicans gave up after civil rights passed. They thought their job was done. And they allow the Democrats to infiltrate and make the black community dependent more and more on the government and the liberal mindset, and it created that. And then Republicans let it happen. They quit reaching out and quit doing their job. Now, does that mean that that's where it has to stop? No. I think this is a great opportunity to come together as people and make stuff really happen. And I think that Rand Paul and Nathan Haney right here in Jefferson County deserve a hell of a lot of credit. And before I forget, I do not want to slight Kentucky Ag Commissioner Jamie Comer came for the event, and Congressman Andy Barr were there as well. So give those guys a lot of credit for helping to start bringing a new voice to the voiceless, the conservative black community. I applaud them, man. I really do. I think this is a fantastic thing.
Yep. And I think, you know, all this happening within the, like, the first year of Nathan Heaney's tenure is the GOP. You know, I know Dale would love to hear it, but, you know, I guess it just shows the difference. I mean, we, you know, we like Shelley May, but she whiffed on that one. And Nathan got in and got it done.
Well, he did get in and get it done.
It's not like the head of any GOP, any head of Jefferson County GOP couldn't have done this any time in the last 20 years. It's been a sore spot. Everybody knows it. Nathan Heaney got out there and got it dealt with.
I agree. And Nathan Heaney did a hell of a job with it. And props again. I mean, you know, Rand Paul has been reaching out to the black community for a long time now. You know, he still gets chastised from time to time. Of course, there's a guy out there, Mikhail Forbush. He's a community activist that was there. And he's trying to take away the positive from this. You know, he was quoted as saying, isn't he the same man who had a Confederate warrior on his staff? And he goes on and says he's playing the political game, but Rand Paul's not playing it well. You know, so he's trying to downgrade every chance of this. So obviously, you know, it's a liberal, and that's okay. But Rand Paul, you know, Rand Paul says, I'm showing up and I'm listening. And he has proved that, not just once, but over time. He has been in Louisville talking to the West End community more and more. Every time he comes into Louisville, he makes an effort to be there and to listen. Ed Martin. Here we go. There you go. You're back. Go ahead.
Ed?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Rand Paul has made the effort to, you know, he's hung out with Attica Scott back in the restorative rights thing. So, I mean, he is reaching out. And it goes to, you know, people like this guy who want to, you know, they want to point out some negatives. Whatever. You know, it's just this guy is, it makes me look at him, it's like, what the hell's wrong with you? Because, you know, hey, just like the one guy said, yeah, Abe Lincoln, their shining star, 200 years ago. Hey, you know what? It's Rand has made some missteps. Who hasn't? You know, Jesse Jackson in Hymantown, and of course, poor Al Sharpton trying to read a prompter. everybody's made mistakes. But damn it, he's here. He's probably one of the most visible senators in the nation now. And he's here, and he's talking, you know, and if you want to call it making amends, whatever, I don't care. You know what, he's here now. If these sorry-ass people can't sit back and say, look, you know what, they just look at it and says, he's here. We appreciate that. Like, dude, you just pissed away a huge opportunity. You know, A, your credibility goes down a crapper, but, you know, since you're showing everybody that you can fixate on somebody's, something somebody did a number of years ago, and, you know, of course, the staffer was sent off his staff. But, you know, it's like, look, so great. So you can hold a grudge. Bully for right. You, man. You know, you can hold a grudge. You have instant recall of one person. Aren't you a genius? But you want to stress the fact that the most impoverished neighborhood in Jefferson County is getting a visit and attention from one of the most popular and prolific senators in the United States, and you're going to try to, you know, that's all you got. It's like, just hit the road, chump.
Well, you know, I agree. That's just the size of it. It's just to the point where, you know, for a long time, so many people are saying they don't have a choice, especially the West End community. And quite frankly, until now, you kind of had to agree with them. That apparently is changing. I'm glad to see it. So props to the Jefferson County Republican Party for doing the right thing, and major props to Jamie Comer, Andy Barr, and especially Senator Rand Paul for making it happen as well. Ed, the one thing that never changes is we run out of time. We're at it now, brother. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You know, the Metro Council is going to prohibit you from saying what you feel like saying. The Magic Matter Show will not. So just think about that. You know, if Mr. Hossie or Pierce or anybody, we know they'll call in. But if somebody gets shut down by the Metro Council or has something they want to say, and, you know, they're limiting you to once say for 3 minutes every 6 months, and you're not allowed to point out specifically anything any one of them did, hey, call my bud Mr. Ed Springsteen here. We'll let you say it. I mean, we'd rather you not get profane, okay? But if you have to, you do. We'll put a seven-second delay on you or something. But you know what? If they're going to limit your speech, take it airways, we won't.
Well, that's exactly it. Free speech, folks, is free speech. Now, have there been people on here that I've cut off because I thought they went too far? Sure. Sure. You know, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the right to say it. It just means that I have a decision to make. Will I accept it or not? And that really comes down to the one thing that we've always talked about, and that is that people will only give you what you're willing to accept. If you're willing to accept poor behavior, if you're willing to accept, you know, poor treatment, then that's what you're going to get. When you demand better, then you get better. But when it comes to us as an American population, folks, the right to free speech has to be maintained. It has to. I don't care if the council doesn't like the fact that somebody raises their voice or maybe slips in a cuss word or something from time to time. That's the nature of the beast. As Mr. Martin said, it really degrades the speaker. I'll agree with that. And if it takes away from their message, then shame on them, because they're the ones that screwed the pooch when they had a chance. But to give the Metro Council authority, the Metro Council treats us any way they want to. They talk about us any way they want to. They use social media to do it so as well. You can go to Twitter. You can go to Facebook. You can go to all kinds of places and get 1,000 examples of them trashing the people they're supposed to represent. Why is it fair for them and not fair for us? The double standard is the problem, and it's the one thing we'll continue working against. That's it for tonight. Don't forget the show's change. Dale the Truth will be here tomorrow night with the TNT, which now stands for Tuesday Night Truth with Dale the Truth Gillespie. He'll be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for his show, and I'll see you back here on Wednesday and Thursday. In the meantime, folks, have a great night, and we will talk to you later. Thanks so much for listening.
All right, have a good one, Mr. Vincent.
Yes, sir.